Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
As I was saying this morning, I come here just for the welcome. It's lovely to be with you, it really is. Thank you. Please be seated, friends. I know that once a year you have Pensioner Sunday, and whenever that comes around, Pastor Byron invites me to come and preach. It's really, really great to be with you. It really, really is. I love coming here and being with you, just sharing my own heart with you, and just also watching the space. I love watching a community flourish and grow and you know, see what God is up to in your midst. So it's been a deep joy for me, and I want to say thank you. I want to start with a story. It's one of my favorites, and it leads us into our theme for tonight. And I came across it about the beginnings of electricity in the UK. Evidently, it came to the northern parts first of the UK, almost at the turn of the century. And when it arrived in the UK, in the northern parts, there were some farmers, evidently, even though electricity was available, it was available. There were some farmers who refused to have power lines put up on their property. So you had available, it was available, electricity. They preferred their kerosene lamps, their candles, etc. They just didn't want power lines up on their property. But what intrigued me was the story of an elderly woman who was obviously using electricity, but very, very little, because her account every month was minimal. So the local kind of municipal folk went around to her place, and they said, "What's going on? How are you finding electricity? And we noticed that you use it, but the account every month is minimal." And she said, "No, electricity is wonderful, absolutely wonderful." And she says, "When it gets dark, I turn on the lights to find my matches, to light my candles, and then I switch the lights off again." And you know, that story for me, does this make sense? It's like a parable. It really is a parable. Huh? It's like we are surrounded by the electricity of God's available and accessible presence. Some of us don't even want to put up the power lines, and some of us just want enough to light our own matches. Huh? Really? Hey. Can I take you to one of my favorite passages in Scripture? It's when Jesus begins his ministry. He preaches one of his first messages. This is the gospel that he brings, the good news. It's in Matthew chapter 4. It's verse 17, and it's going to be on the screen. He says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach." Now, this was his message. We often get his message wrong. I want you to be very clear about what the message of Jesus Christ is. Turn around, repent. Now here comes the good news. For the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is available. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. You know, we often make a mistake when we talk about the word heaven. Now, heaven is God's presence. That's where God hangs out. It's God's space. It's where God's presence and power and activity is fully present. It's in heaven. Would you agree? When we pray, "Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." Now, the big mistake we make whenever we talk about heaven, we usually make two mistakes. First of all, we think it's far away. Far away. From far away. A Bette Midler sings about it. From a distance. God is watching. Far away, far away. That's a nice song. It's terrible theology. Really, it's terrible. It's like here is earth and God is in heaven far away. Far away, far, far, far away. And God is uninvolved, disconnected with us, and we've got to somehow bring God here. That's not good news. That's not good news. Heaven is not far away. Or we think heaven is much later. You've got to die first, and then you can kind of enter into heaven. Now, that's not what Jesus says. For Jesus, and this was his message, please get hold of it. When Jesus entered this world, he had a message. He had good news, a gospel, and he proclaimed it. And what it was, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. In East Rand English, God is available and God is accessible to each one of us. How do I put this simply? Jesus has done absolutely everything in his life, his death, his resurrection to throw open the doors of the kingdom of heaven so that it's available to you and to me where we are. Where we are. And it's like the kingdom of electricity. It's available. It's available. And I often meet people who just don't want to put up the power lines. They don't want to enter into a connection. They want to live on their own. And God, in God's kindness and goodness, never forces things down our throat. God gives us the space to live our lives as we want to, and we have to take up the consequences of that. On the other hand, I meet many folk, go to church, say they are Christian, who kind of want enough of God to light their candles. And then it's like, okay, God, now you stand back, watch me, and I'll do it. And now I'm operating again on my own battery, Duracell. And so the question I want to ask, and I want to put it out there today, and I want to explore this with you, is how do we stay connected 24/7? How do we stay connected 24/7? Tomorrow, most of us are in very difficult spaces. Very difficult spaces, most of us. It's not easy keeping businesses going. It's not working easy sometimes working in companies where you just don't feel you fit. Many of us are caught in situation of conflict after conflict after conflict. Some of us are struggling in home situations. How does one, in the midst of that, stay connected to God's available and accessible presence? It's a critical question. It really is. And I want to encourage you, not today, some of you, I want to encourage you to put up the power lines. Get connected, for goodness sake. And Jesus says, quite easily, you just turn around, repent, turn around, enter in, start. Start the journey. But I'm talking to some of you who are, you're on the way with Jesus, and somehow there's a little bit of a division. You kind of hear we worship, and it's beautiful, lovely worship, great up front. And there's a sense, God, you're present, God, you're available. I have a sense of your presence. And then we go into life tomorrow, and there is this massive gap, in our lives. And it shows. It shows. So how do we stay connected 24/7? And I just want to share just a few thoughts with you. I've thought about them. While you were taking a nap this afternoon, I was saying to God, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. What can I say that will really encourage and really be helpful this evening for you? So I just want to, I'm really speaking heart to heart. And I want to say, for me, if I want to stay connected 24/7, I need to turn my mind, and I'm going to speak very carefully now, very carefully. I need to turn my mind in a Godward direction as often as I can. Often as I can. One of my favorite scriptures, I've got many, but one of my favorites in the Psalms, and I want to give it to you. Psalm 16, verse 8, and it's very, very powerful. The psalmist says, I keep my eyes. Now, obviously, those are not his physical eyes. How do you keep physical eyes on someone who's invisible? He's obviously speaking about the eyes of his own mind. In fact, some translations, if you've got your own Bible, look up different translations. Some translation says, I have set my mind upon the Lord. I've set my mind upon the Lord with him at my right hand. At my right hand. Right hand is always the hand of action. At my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not. Why? Because I will know that I'm living in an unshakable kingdom. An unshakable kingdom. So I need to turn my mind on a daily basis. I need to turn it in the direction of our Lord. It's with my mind that I make contact with God. I really want to say that. Paul says, you know, retain God in your knowledge. You retain God. You keep God in mind. I have to do that. God is not going to jump down my throat. If I want to live without God, I think God grieves that, but God seldom gate crashes our lives. Seldom. Seldom. Sometimes God does, but on the whole, God doesn't. I have to keep God in my mind. The psalmist says, I will set my eyes, I will fix my attention, I will fix my mind upon the Lord, upon the Lord. I had a mentor, he died a few years ago, lovely man, Dallas Willard. I've asked three people in my life, three people for a word. People that I've really respected. I've gone to them and I've said to them, do you have a word for me? A word. Hundreds of people have had words for me that I haven't asked for. Hundreds. I've got a word for you, Trevor. I've got a word for you. Okay, give it, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. But I've asked three people. And those three people's words have shaped my lives, have shaped my life. They've shaped my life. One of those people was Dallas. I was taking him to the airport, Great North Road, just turned off Cloudy Street, going down, and I said to him, hey, Dallas, do you have a word for me? And he's a very clever man. He was a professor of philosophy. He was a Christ follower. He loved Jesus, followed Jesus. In a very hostile academic environment. Philosophy is where all the skeptics hang out. He just maintained a beautiful, beautiful witness for Christ. And I just said to him, hey, Dallas, do you have a word for me? And he was quiet. And then he turned to me. I'll never forget, he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Trevor, guard your mind. Guard your mind. God, your mind, your thoughts matter. Never forgotten that. Never forgotten that. Since 1993, I've been learning to guard my mind, and the best way to guard my mind is to turn it regularly within a Godward direction. And I want to be very practical. Begin to develop a habit. Habits take time, habits can be developed, and this is a habit that I've developed, and it can start tomorrow morning. That as soon as you wake up, it's going to take a little bit of practice, just turn your attention to the Lord. You can do it under the blankets. Just say, God, you are here, you're here. The kingdom of heaven is available where I am. It's accessible and it's available. And you are where I am. You're here. You're here. And as you maybe get out of bed, God, I'm stepping with you in the kingdom of heaven. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. I'm connected. The electricity of your presence that lights up my life, that energizes me, that strengthens me, is with me. And I want to say thank you. Now, I may not feel anything, but I'm making contact with the Lord with my mind. I'm fixing my eyes upon Him. And I'm doing that as soon as I can, as soon as I can. Now, it's very simple. I'm not asking you to add anything to your life. I'm just simply saying, when you wake up, can you turn your mind in His direction? In His direction, that's all. And then as regularly as you are able to during the day. And you can, this is a true story. I know a lady, she's got four kids. Now, can you imagine keeping connected to God 24/7 with four kids? But she's got on her phone. It just beeps every hour. She's somehow arranged it. Every hour, just doing. And she just turns her mind inwardly to the Lord. So she's in, you know, she's wherever she is, she's in Pick and Pay, doing. Okay, God, thank you. Your kingdom of heaven is available. I'm living in it. I'm in your kingdom. I'm connected. You are present. I'm not on my own. I'm in an unshakable kingdom. Huh? Just to do it regularly through the day. Just through the day without pressure. Without pressure. And let me promise you this. Take one step towards the Lord. The Lord takes 100 steps towards you. 100 steps towards you. 100. And then maybe just as you go off to sleep at night, I find it very helpful. Just before I go to off to sleep, just to turn my mind again, just to the Lord. Lord, I thank you that I'm going into the sleep. Keep me from the terrors of the night. Some of us have terrible dreams sometimes. Lord, I just need you to be in my sleep. I need you to be in my dreams. Please, Lord. And I often just play back the day as I go off to sleep, just to see where I've messed up, to say sorry, messed up there, messed up here, messed up there, messed up there. Lord, I really ask your forgiveness and I really ask to do better tomorrow by your grace and your spirit. And I'm connected. I'm living from another time zone. I'm linked to the kingdom of heaven. The power lines are up. There's a connection happening and it's live. It's live. So that's my first suggestion. Very simple, very basic. My second thing that I want to suggest, and I usually think in threes, so I'll just share three thoughts, is I'm learning that there are few things that open me up to the kingdom more than saying thank you. Thanksgiving accesses the reality of God's presence in my life like few things else. Just look what Paul says. Just look what Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 8. Rejoice always, pray continue. Now watch this. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now again, we need to look at that carefully. Paul is not saying give thanks for everything. He's not saying that. The word there is not for. We don't give thanks for evil. We don't give thanks for tragedy. We don't give thanks for illness or sickness. We don't give thanks for that. But it's within those circumstances that we begin to grow an attitude, a deep attitude of deep, deep thanksgiving, of saying thank you to God for the things that I'm really thankful for. Sometimes, you know, we talk Christianese and we say thank you for things that we're supposed to be thankful for, but we're not really thankful for them. The important thing is to be honest and to say thank you for what you're thankful for and to be specific. And there are few things that access the reality of God's presence more than thanksgiving. Somehow it just accesses the reality of the kingdom of heaven in our lives profoundly, profoundly. I'm married to Debbie. She's a great woman. One day you'll meet her. A few years ago, she went through a very dark time, just a very, very dark time. No, just dark. Sometimes we go through dark times. She made a habit. I'll never forget this. I would watch her every night. She made a habit every night of writing down in a little book five things that she was really thankful for. So she was in a time of real, maybe depression was the word, real darkness. But she just found things that she was genuinely thankful for at the end of the day. And she just made a note of them. And she did that, I think, for 2 or 3 years. Just five things that she, and it was like, God, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful, and whatever it is. Now, again, it's something we begin with as we wake up, you know? It's like I wake up, God, I'm alive. I'm alive. Life has been given to me. I'm so thankful. I stumble into the bathroom. I look in this deteriorating figure in the mirror. God, I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you for the gift of life. Find my way to the coffee. Yes. Yes. Huh? The surest sign that God exists is coffee. Yes. Now, I'm serious. I really am. Who would have thought up something as wonderful as coffee? It's not random. It's a gift. And now I'm serious. And God, in God's goodness, has made gifts like coffee available. Huh? I find it amazing. And then my little dogs come and they woof woof and they little kind of, they're so happy to see me. Huh? If only I really was the person my dogs thought I am. So, and I just, God, thank you so much for Lofty. Thank you for Buddy. They're always so happy. They're happy to see me. But something's happening. There's a reality, all things bright and beautiful. The Lord God made them all. Oh, this is not just pretty words. This is reality. And I'm connected. Thanksgiving connects me 24/7 to the reality of the availability, the accessibility of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm living in the kingdom. And I'm living in it. I'm breathing it. Can I say one more thing? One more thing, and I really hope it's helpful. I find it very helpful, very, very helpful. I don't know about you, but during the day, I change activities. You know, I'm doing one thing, then I move to another thing, then I'm in another situation, then I meet another person, then I get in the car, and there's often a whole lot of, a day's made up of different situations and different people. And I find it very helpful in between situations or people or interviews or tasks. In these in-between moments, I call them transitional spaces. I find it so helpful just to commit what I'm going to do now to the Lord so we can do it together. I love these words. Just look at them. Make this, just memorize all the scriptures we've used tonight. Colossians 3:17. It's wonderful stuff. Whatever you do. Now, what does that rule out? What does that rule out? Whatever you do. Whatever you do during the day. Whatever you do during the day, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that when I do something, I say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean that. To do it in the name of is to do it connected to the reality of Christ. I'm doing it on His behalf. I want to give Him a good reputation. I'm doing it in His name. Of our Lord Jesus, it's interesting, hey? Giving thanks comes up as well here. Giving thanks, and we go back to what we just said. But I just find it so helpful to commit what I'm going to do next to the Lord so that we can do it together. I don't have to think about the Lord all the time. Does that make sense? If I have someone who's operating on me in the theater, I really hope that the surgeon is thinking about me. At that moment. I really do. I don't want his attention to be anywhere else, but I hope that he, before he has done it, that he has said, God, I want to be your surgeon. I commit this to you. I want to work with you. I want to bring healing and health. I want to be with you. It changes ordinary tasks. A lot of my day is very menial, very mundane, doing very ordinary things. But somehow it begins to change what is menial and mundane. And especially when I'm going to see a person, my people encounters, I always say, Lord, I want to commit this encounter to you. I really do. And somehow, with you, Lord, because we're in this together, I want to bless the person I'm with. I just want to bless them somehow. Now, I don't go around saying to everyone, God bless you, 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 God bless you. I don't do that. But when I'm with you, I want God, I'm connected to the kingdom of heaven, you're connected to the, I want something of that presence of God to spill out onto you, just spill out on you somehow. And then there are the interruptions that come every day. And these are meeting spaces as well. So friends, I don't know if this has been helpful. I have a lecturer friend who always says, Trevor, repetition is the mother of all learning. So let me just repeat what I've said because I wanted to sink deep. What we've said tonight, I really do believe can change things forever. It can change things forever. The good news is that God is available to you, accessible to you. Jesus has done everything necessary for the gates of the kingdom of heaven to be thrown open to anyone and everyone. What I love about being a follower of Christ is that in the name of Jesus Christ, I can go to any human being, whatever they've done, and I can say to them, God is available to you. God is accessible to you where you are. There is someone who loves you, who wants to enter your life, who wants to live with you, who wants to make you over again, who wants to heal you of your hurts, who wants to set you free from your attachments and addictions. This God is available to you. Available. And I want to invite you this evening. Put up the power lines. Put up the power lines. For goodness sake, don't keep living off kerosene lamps and candles. put up the power lines. And very easy power lines, you put them up as you repent. Repent is a beautiful word. Repent means just change your thinking. Turn around. Look in another direction. Look in the direction of Christ. And then, when the power lines are up, stay connected. Stay connected 24/7. Turn your mind just regularly towards the Lord. Ask the Lord for help with that. Psalm 16, verse 8. Live in a deep spirit of thankfulness, even when its life is at its darkest. Look for what I genuinely can give thanks for. A slice of toast with honey and peanut butter. Coffee, my dogs, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I mean it. I mean it. These are gifts to be enjoyed and received even in very dark moments. And then every time I change an activity through the day, Lord, can I do this on your behalf? Can I do this with you? I really want to. I really want to. I want to do this with you. And I'm looking out now, and I'm going to end on this note, that when I begin to do something for God and with God, the outcome is always more significant than had I done it on my own. Always, always. And one of the surest signs, here's my witness, one of the surest signs for me that God is alive and real is I look at things that I've done and I look at the effects of that sometimes and I know I was not responsible for those effects. But because I was doing them with God, somehow God was able to do something very deep and very special. So bless you, friends. Bless you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that your kingdom is available, that the kingdom of heaven, that the electricity, Lord, of your presence and of all the resources of your strength and companionship, power, are available. Where we are in life, we don't have to get to another place. You meet us where we are. And we want to say thank you for that grace and thank you for that mercy. And we thank you, Jesus, so much that you have opened up this door for people like us to just run through. Lord, we want to live in a way that's connected to you each day. And we want to become learners. We want to learn how to do this. And we thank you that you're so patient with us, so gracious, and very, very gentle. So take us on a journey that we may become a people who live 24/7 connected to you. And this is our prayer. We offer it to you with all the love and with all the longing of our hearts. And we say together as God's people, amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. God bless you. Take care.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.